Book of Joshua, chapter 11, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshaph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains and of the plains south of Chinneroth, and in the valley and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and to the Hittite and to the Perizzite and to the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel.
Now here we see, last chapters we learned that Gibeonites came and held treaty with the Israeli people, and God protected those people. And the word of God says, earlier we studied, he said to his people, when you go, have peace with those people, say peace, and if they listen, make a treaty with them and make them your servants and don't kill them. Gibeonites, Joshua didn't do anything, but God inspired those people to come and have peace with the Israeli people. And because of that, five different kings came to destroy the Gibeonites, but God protected, and we already learned in last couple of chapters. But here what happened. When these other kings, the king of Hazor, this king was a very big king. And all these people in the south and north and east and west, all those kingdoms were under him. So from that you know he was not ordinary man. All other kings, we saw only five kings came. But these are more than five kings. And these people are all united. And they heard that Joshua and Israeli people defeated all these five different kings. So now, they are going to kill us also. But Gibeonites people were very wise and God-fearing, and they did not want to get killed. They saw the power of God, and they came and told Joshua, we saw from Egypt and Jordan, all other enemies are killed and destroyed, and Jericho and Ai, all of these things we heard and we saw. Your God is so powerful and God is so great, so we don't want to get destroyed. We will be rather your servant, serve your God and serve you, but keep us safe. And these Joshua and Israeli people made a treaty with these people. But now these people, King of Hazor is a very great man, and all other kings are under him. So simply he called everybody and said, listen, we cannot allow the Joshua and Israeli people to defeat us. Why? Because we see here, those people were so many like a sand of the sea. That means so many people, not only ordinary people, but they had the horses and chariots, and not one or two, he says, horses and chariots, very many. So many horses, so many chariots, and those people were thinking, hey, we have good horses, we have good warriors, we have chariots. Israeli people do not have all of these things. So we can defeat them easily. This is what the people think. Read the Psalm 33, verses 16 and 17.
There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength.
See, this is what the guard says, or the guard servant says. No horses, no army, and nobody can have victory without God. In the sight of God, your army is nothing, your horses are nothing, your strength is nothing. And that's what God was trying to teach the children of Israel. Not because of your strength and because of your power and because your wisdom and because your righteousness, you're winning. Only God's grace, and God showed these people how the Pharaoh was defeated, how the Jericho was defeated, how the Ai was defeated, and how God showed them God is with the Israeli people. And so God was with them all the time. So, but these people, their strength was an army, and their strength was in the horses and chariots. And this time, I don't know what Israeli people or Joshua was thinking, but I think these people might be praying. It's not written here. They might be praying to God. They might be united, saying, now this is the greatest enemy we ever saw. We don't have horses. We don't have what you call chariots. So here the Psalm 20th verse 7, please read. This is what might the feeling they had. God is in their side.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
Right. They said some people are trusting in their chariot and horses. We are going to trust in the Lord. And God saw the heart of Joshua. Before Joshua could call and say, Lord, what should I do? God talked to Joshua. This is what we have to learn. If we are in the humble in the sight of God and living a clean and holy life and pleasing God, I'll give an example. When you going to go for a war, you don't get training on the battlefield. Our soldiers and armies are trained before they go, hours and hours and years of practice, and then they go for war. The same way, if you are born again, child of God, you are not going to defeat the enemy without prayer and fasting and staying in the sight of God. If you are praying all the time, if you are connected with God, God is watching over you. He sees your heart and how humble you are in the sight of God. Israeli people learned Ai was the small place, and they said, you know what? Take only 2,000 or 3,000 people, we can defeat them easily. What happened? Israeli people were defeated, but there was a sin in the camp. Now Israeli people came to know, if there is a sin in our life, we cannot defeat enemy. We have to have clean and holy life. So I believe these Israeli people were tuned to God. Joshua saw the miracle. If the man could stop the sun and moon, but he was not doing with his own power, he did it with the power of God. So he knew we have to trust in God. Once you do that, God is watching over us. The word of God says our God never sleeps and he never slumbers. There is nothing hidden in his eyes. Everything open and naked to his eyes. Sometime when he say, oh God, where are you? God is always there. God is always there to help us. But sometimes we underestimate God's power. We say, oh, we can make a mistake and we can do something wrong. And God is gracious and loving and kind, and he did it last time, he forgave me, he can forgive me again. And that's why people do. You know, I prayed in the night time and I went to bed, and God gave me another day, and now I go to my business and I do whatever I want to do. And when come to evening time, I might ask God forgiveness. But the word of God says only righteous people, they go out and they come in. But the people who are sinners, there is no guarantee. Once you go out of your house, you may not come in. And so God's people should be always tuned to God. But if you start living a yo-yo life, and if you looking at your prosperity, looking at your job and security and things like that, that's the time people think, wow, now I have money, I have fame. I don't need anybody. I don't need mommy. I don't need daddy. I don't need brothers. I don't need sister. I don't need anybody. I got everything what I need. But the Bible says we need one another. All brothers and sisters in the Lord, they need one another, and we can be helping one another. If somebody says, I don't need you, what's happening? That means you isolate yourself, then you are target for the enemy. He says, 99 sheep staying together and one sheep is lost, God is going after, because that sheep is going to be slaughtered. So God knows our strength and our weaknesses. So I believe Joshua was a humble man and praying. He was not proud. Hey, don't worry. We defeated those people. These people are nothing. See what God says to them. Joshua chapter 11 verse 6.
And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them. For tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt huff their horses and burn their chariots with fire.
See what God says? Tomorrow this time. I don't know what time was it. Maybe midnight. What time was it that Joshua was thinking about his enemy? And God saw Joshua's heart. He said, Joshua, don't be afraid. Maybe he had a little bit fear. How are you going to defeat these people? God said, don't be afraid. Once you got fear in your heart, you are defeated. Because God does not give us fear. What the word of God says? 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. If you have sound mind, and if you love the Lord, then God will give you grace and victory over the enemies. But if you start getting afraid and fear and anxiety, the more trouble will come. What I do, when I pray for something, I believe it is done. And that's all you have to just praise God and glorify God. God is not looking how much strength you have and how much power you have and how much money you have, how much wisdom you have and how much good preacher you have, how much good singing you do and all of these things. He's not looking all of these things. He's thinking how much we appreciate God, how much we praise God in all kinds of situations. The trouble comes, just start praising God. That God did miracle before, he can do it today. I just tell people, why can't you have the faith in God if you ask somebody to pray for you and God heal you, and now next time you got the same problem, why you are shaken? The same God healed you yesterday, the same God can heal you today. But we are thinking this is difficult than before. And that's what the failure is. God says to Joshua, don't be afraid of these people. Don't be afraid of chariots. Don't be afraid of all these horses. I'll tell you what to do. Before you can defeat those people, they're trusting in their chariots. They're trusting in their horses. Take care of them. Cripple all the horses and burn all the chariots. When the horses are crippled and the chariots are burned, then what? They're thinking, what are we going to do now? How are you going to run? How are you going to have victory? They already will be paralyzed. And God said, this time tomorrow, I will slay, I will kill and destroy those people in front of your own eyes. That is the great comfort. All these enemies, God is going to destroy within 12 hours. And he didn't know. He said, last time the sun stood and the moon stood and hailstorm came. I don't know what God is going to do this time. But God can put the fear in their heart. You remember when the fear comes, your knees start shaking, your heart starts breaking, and many people get heart attack and die. All this flood coming, people are looking on somebody's news, my house, this much flood came. Another person say, oh, my house is lower than yours. My house will be gone. Before the house gone, you're gone. You're going to die. We should be thanking God and praising God in every situation. God is more powerful than any of your enemies. And God has the tricks. God shows you what to do. It sounds bad, but their strength was in their horses. Destroy their horses first. Their strength in their chariots. Destroy their chariots. And if those people would all say, "Hey, Joshua, your God is great, we surrender," they would not be killed. See what happens. Let's read the word 7. Joshua 11, 7.
So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them.
See what happened? Now God said to Joshua, "Tomorrow, this time, all these people will be destroyed." Joshua is supposed to say, "Then I don't have to do anything. I just take a nap, relax, because I'm so tired. I'm now almost 85 years old. Let God do the fighting." Did he do that? He says he came suddenly. The enemy were not thinking what time and how the Joshua and his army is coming, but they came suddenly. And that's the way you have to surprise your enemy. Don't tell your tricks to your enemy. What you're going to do? What we're doing, we are telling enemy what boat we are going to use, what airplane we are going to use, how many planes are going to come, and which way you are coming, and where we're going to put the bomb, and what we're going to do, we declare before we do anything. So enemy got the message, and they try to destroy you before you go there. So we don't tell the enemy what you are going to do. You trust in God, and God says, "You do this." Now, if the Joshua would have said, "You know what? First of all, we are going to cripple your horses. And then we burn your chariots." Do you think they're going to sleep? No, they're going to take their horses and run faster. But they don't know what Joshua is going to do with these armies. And the word of God says he came suddenly and fell upon them and the Israeli people. Let's read the verse 8.
And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon and unto Mizrephathmaim and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward, and they smote them until they left them none remaining.
They destroyed them until none was remaining. Not a single person escaped. That is the power of God. Okay, verse 9.
And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He huffed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire.
And so Joshua did exactly what the Lord told him. Verse 10.
And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms.
See, Hazor was the head of all kings. So what Joshua did, he burned him, and all his cities he burned. So he destroyed him. Once you know that your head is gone, then all the people are afraid. The king is destroyed, then everybody is afraid and they give up. So Joshua killed this man. Most of the kings he hanged them, but this was not a one king. And there were so many kings. They have to have so many trees and time to do these things. But he burned this person and his city. And most of the other cities and other kings, they destroyed it, but they did not burn their properties. We will be learning. Verse 11.
And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them, did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded.
Now he says, as the Moses, the servant of God, commanded. That's the way he did it. He obeyed the commandments of Moses, and Moses got commandment from God. Verse 13.
But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only. That did Joshua burn.
See, here he says Joshua burned Hazor and his city, but all other city, they kept it not destroying. But they destroyed the people, and they kept their properties and their animals and everything they kept, and God allowed them to have it. Okay, verse 14.
And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle, the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves, but every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe.
All these people came like what? Sea of the sand on horses and chariots. When they came, how much they left in the city? Millions of people and millions of cows and goats and silver and gold. Everything the God, and they said they destroy only people. And there was not a single person even breathing. Means everybody utterly destroyed. And here the word of God says, take the loot, take the money. They got the billions and trillions of dollars in their pocket. So not only that they defeated people, but they got all the loot. Verse 15.
As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses.
Now here is saying, as the Lord commanded Moses, Moses commanded to Joshua, and Joshua did according to the will of God. That means, whatever the Lord says, you obey, and you will get success. Verse 16.
So Joshua took all that land, the hills, and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-gad, in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took, and smote them and slew them.
Okay, all the kings, he took them and slew them. It is not an easy task. So he was not saying, Lord, I am tired, I am weary, why can't you find somebody else younger than me and let them defeat? But he was so faithful, he says, God has given me this job, I'm going to do it. And he said he destroyed every king. And all is not one, but many, many kings. And the end of this chapter, he says, he destroyed every kings, and there was a peace for a while. Okay, verse 18.
Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle.
They did not make a peace treaty with anybody, only Gibeons. And all other people, God says, okay, I want you to destroy them. And he did it. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 5.
Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Now what God is trying to say, you know what? Not because of your strength, not because of your power, not because of your righteousness, but I promise Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why I'm destroying all these people. That's why I'm making their heart harden. And that's why we want to destroy all of those people. And if you remember, Joshua and Caleb went to see the place, how those people look like. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 33.
And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.
Now here is saying, when we went there, those people were giant, they see us like a grasshopper, and when we saw them, we felt like we are grasshoppers. So he said we didn't have any strength, we didn't have any power, and that's why the bad news came from 10 people, and they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But God says, you're going to go and defeat those giants. Read the Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16 and 17. 16, 17.
But of the people, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee.
So here the word of God is saying, don't look at the giants. Don't look at how big and how strong their countries and people are. I am going to give you those people's land, and you don't have to have any mercy, and you destroy them utterly. And Joshua said, as the Lord said, as the Moses said, I did it. Go back to Joshua chapter 11 and start reading from verse 20.
For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained.
Now here is saying, these giants, like Goliath, all these people were giants. But the word of God says he all killed all the giants, but the giants were only left in Gaza and Gath and Ashdod. And so all the giants were killed and destroyed. Bible says God hardened their heart, so they thought, we are going to destroy the children of Israel. But they got destroyed because they had a pride. And the word of God says, when your pride comes, the destruction comes, the fall comes. We see in Lucifer, we see in Pharaoh, and we see in this king of Hazar, how they were so proud that they can destroy. They had the chariots, they had the horses, they had the good army, they had a lot of money, but did not work. And all the army and horses and chariot were destroyed. Verse 23.
So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war.
Now he's saying, whatever God says, he did it, defeated the enemy, and now he wants to divide the land. But he says, now there was a resting period and no war. That means all the major kings and enemies were defeated. And now there is a peace, no war. So they took advantage to give the land to the people. So now let's go to the book of Joshua chapter 12. Now in this chapter, there is nothing more to learn. Only one thing we learning, that when the people went from Egypt, after they came close to the Jordan River, and Moses also defeated so many kings and other surrounding area before crossing the Jordan. And so there, Reuben and Gad and Manasseh's half-tribe, they said, hey, we don't want to cross the river. Give us land on this side. So Moses said, okay, you want the land? I'll give you the land this side, but that doesn't mean you are not going to fight. You have to cross the Jordan. You have to fight the enemy. And when they will be, all the enemies will be defeated, and then you can come back and get your land. And so what happened? Reuben's, Gad, and Manasseh, all those armies, we heard almost over 40,000 some more, they went and defeated all the enemies, and now they are going to get the land. So here we read, first six verses, Joshua chapter 12, if you read what Moses did, and after six verses, we'll read what Joshua did. So let's go to the Joshua chapter 12 and start reading from verse 1.
Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side, Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon, and all the plain on the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. And from the plain to the sea of Chinnereth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jeshimoth, and from the south under Ashdoth Pisgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth at Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salcah, and in all Bashan, unto the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon.
So there were giants before this Jordan River, and some giants were other sides of the river. So Moses killed the king of Og, king, and all other giants. He killed, and people were so happy. So now said, no giants are here, no kings are here to destroy us. So Reuben and Gad and Manasseh's half tribe said, oh, we don't want to go. Please let us stay here. So Moses allowed them to stay. Verse 6.
Then did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west, from Baalgad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions.
Now see, from verse 7, what Joshua did in a summary is telling how he defeated all these peoples after crossing the Jordan River. Verse 8.
In the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites.
When they left in Deuteronomy, Moses told them, you are going to go and defeat all seven nations. Let's read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2.
When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou.
Seven nations greater and mightier than you, but you are going to defeat them. Moses prophesied by faith, and now Joshua is saying, we defeated. As Moses said, seven nations were defeated, and the seven nations are names are given here. So whatever Moses said by faith, you're going to go, you're going to cross the Jordan River, you're going to have all these seven nations greater than you, they will be giants, and you're going to defeat them, and you're going to have victory over them. And the Joshua said, we defeated all seven nations. Now we are going to see 31 kings also were defeated. Can you imagine? Seven nations, and seven nations had 31 kings. All of them were defeated by Joshua. Let's read from verse 9. Go back to Joshua chapter 12, verse 9. Now hear nothing, just listen to the king, how many kings were killed.
The king of Jericho won, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won. The king of Jerusalem won, the king of Hebron won, the king of Jarmuth won, the king of Lachish won, the king of Eglon won, the king of Gezer won, the king of Debir won, the king of Gedor won, the king of Hormah won, the king of Arad won, the king of Libna won, the king of Adullam won, the king of Makkedah won, the king of Bethel won, the king of Tapua won, the king of Hefer won, the king of Aphek won, the king of Lasharon won, the king of Madon won, the king of Hazor won, the king of Shimron Meron won, the king of Akshaph won, the king of Tanakh won, the king of Megiddo won, the king of Kadesh won, the king of Jokneam of Carmel won, the king of Dor in the coast of Dor won, the king of the nations of Gilgal won, the king of Tirzah won, all the kings 30 and one.
All the kings? How many? 31 kings. Now he gave the list. The kings were defeated by Moses, and the kings were defeated by Joshua. And he says, all seven nations and all 31 kings were all defeated. But what happened? They did not defeat some of the people. We just read it, chapter 11. Some of the giants were still left in Gath and some other two cities. And I was thinking, why those people were not defeated? But you will be learning later on, God does not give you everything in a platter. You have to do something. So we will be seeing in the next chapter, Joshua and Caleb. Both people were so good warriors, and they saw the land, got the fruit, and they said to the Israeli people, those people are nothing. We can conquer them. We can destroy them. But the 10 people said, no, we are going to die, and they cry, and they told everybody, and everybody says, no, we cannot go do it. 40 years they suffer. Now this is a young generation. But Joshua and Caleb, they are still old. We'll be learning in the next chapter. Caleb said to Joshua, Joshua, you remember? Moses told us to go and put a land under your feet, and that land will be yours. Caleb says, can you give me some land here? And what land he's asking? Give me land in the mountains. And he said, listen, when we went to see the land, that was 40 years ago. Now is 45 years past. I am almost 85 years old. But I have the strength, the same strength, when we went to see the land. Can you imagine? The man says, when I saw the land, the same strength I feel today. I'm now 45. I'm getting too old. I'm now 50 years old. I'm almost going to die. That's the way we feel. You have to say, listen, I am living by the power of God. People will say, the time goes, you get older and older. My Bible teaches, when you get older, you get anger. You get anger in your spirit. Even the outward body look like old, but you have a spirit gets younger and stronger. If your spirit is strong, then you are strong. That's why the Caleb is saying, I look like I'm 85 years old, but I have the same spirit, same power, so give me the mountain. I was thinking here, when you are 45 years old, going to second floor for taking a shower, we cannot go to second floor. We cannot walk. And once you say, I cannot do it, then you can't do it. But we have to say, I can do all things through Christ. The devil wants to make you cripple. And if you give up, but some ladies want to take the favor from the husband and say, honey, I'm not feeling good. I didn't cook the food today. I'm sorry, I'm this. And so the husband will say, okay, honey, we'll buy some food from outside and we'll eat. And you say 1 month passed, 2 months passed, 3 months passed, she's not getting better. So what husband does? Go and find some girl. Young girl who can dance it out, who can do some things. Then he goes. But if the lady says, hey, I'm strong. Don't play game with your husband that you are not feeling good. If you start complaining, the devil will catch up with you and really will make you sick. Even though you are not sick. There was a man, he never got sick. And he was a very strong teacher, and his children were very smart. But he was not giving them day off. Even the Saturdays and Sundays, he said, come for special classes. The vacation time, you come and study. They said, this is a crazy guy. And they complained to somebody, the psychiatric or psychologist said, hey, it's a very easy thing. You have how many students in your class? 30, 40 students. I give you an idea. You go to his house early in the morning before he gets ready and say, sir, You don't feel good. Are you sick? And the one boy came, another boy came, and all 30, 40 boys said, you're sick. And he didn't feel sick. So he asked his wife, honey, am I sick? She said, no, you're not sick. Uh-huh. Because I don't take a day off, and you might be have a boyfriend somewhere, so you don't want me to stay home. She said, honey, let me check your pulse. Oh, honey, your heart is beating so fast. I think you're going to get a fever. I'm going to make a bed for you and lie down and get a rest. He said, okay, honey. And he went to bed and he got really sick. How many months? 6 months. He's sick. Children got tired. All other children are doing well and their teacher is dying. So they went to that same guy. Hey, you told us the trick, we did it. And now he is dying. He said, same trick. Go back and tell, sir, you feeling better today. Are you coming tomorrow to class? And all the children went and said the same thing. He said, honey, am I feeling better? She said, no, you're sick. You lie down. Uh-huh, you want to kill me. He said, let me check one more time. Your fear is coming down. The man got up and went to school. What I'm trying to say, your mind will kill you. If you have fear, it will kill you. So what you feel in your spirit, that's what you're going to get. So don't play game with your body. If you sneeze, don't say, I'm going to catch a cold. When you sneeze, what do you say? Oh, my lungs are getting clear. I can breathe better now. Don't say negative things. If you do negative things will happen to you. When the negative things comes in your mind, you rebuke the demonic forces. Rebuke that thought. God will give you victory. See, some people think, say, oh, I'm not good, I cannot do this, and I'm not a pretty, I'm not handsome, I don't have strength, and I cannot get a wife, and I can't get a husband because I'm too old. And all these things you start thinking, then you tell everybody, I'm not pretty anymore, I'm getting old, I don't have the strength like before. You will be pretty very old sooner. Sometime you go and look at the mirror, wow, well, yesterday I was looking better, today I'm looking worse. Don't do that. There is a one lady, she said, you know, I went to the mirror and saw my face is so bad, and I went and started all makeup and all this and this and that, did all more problem, and now I'm so ugly now. What the Bible says, when you're looking in the mirror, you look Jesus in the mirror. And you look in the mirror and you transform like him. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the answer. Not the medicine. Not the doctor. Not any surgeon or anybody. Our God is the miracle worker. He does miracle surgery. He does everything. There is nothing impossible with God. And I'm a living witness. This many years, not a single drop of medicine, not a single doctor's visit, not a single doctor's treatment, I'm still alive. But if I start telling my wife or anybody, you know what? I'm having pain. Oh, let me check. I'd never tell my wife if I have headache, if I have a body ache, if I have problem, I do not tell my wife. I tell God. So the point I'm making, I learn to trust in God. If I have a pain in my body or anywhere, I just say, Lord, I'm ready to come. But if my job is not finished, give me some time. Otherwise, I'm ready. So same thing, if you are lying in a bed and you cannot move your hand or feet or leg or back or anything, you simply say to God, Lord, What is my life? I don't want to be a burden to somebody. I want to live for you. People are afraid to make a commitment. Say, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to talk for you. I'm going to preach for you. I'm going to tell other people what you have done. And you start preaching. Other day, one man I saw, he got a stroke. Very bad stroke. He was living in a second floor. And he had heathen friends, neighbors. When he got a stroke, he could not move. He's drooling and this and that. He said, I start thanking God. I start praising God and glorifying God and praising God. And I said, I'm going to walk and I'm going to do the things. And he said, slowly, I got up and I just start walking. And I don't know, middle of the night or something, the people say, hey, what's happening? And they came to see him, and he is dancing, is walking and praising God. And they said, all of a sudden, this man had a very bad stroke, and he is praising God and glorifying God, and his mouth is still crooked. He went and saw, and his mouth is crooked. He starts speaking in tongue and praising God and praising God, and all of a sudden, his mouth straightened out. What this man is now saying, I learned to praise God. You have to praise God. You have to thank God what little thing you got. If you are thankful for little thing, God will do great things. So that's what we have to learn. Now we see here, all the enemies were defeated and they have peace for a short period of time. But there is some little enemy here and there were still alive. We will be seeing that next week. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You gave children of Israel a grace to defeat all the giants. And they were able to defeat 7 nations and 31 kings. The enemy who are trying to destroy us with the sickness, with the disease, with the temptation, with the trials, and all kinds of things. But let each and everyone say, I can do all things through Christ, and we can defeat the enemy. We are not going to live a defeated life. We are going to live a glorious life. Devil is there to kill us. Devil is there to destroy us. But we learn the devil should be under our feet. God has given us a victory. Jesus is our head. We are his body. And all enemies are under his feet. And if we are body of Christ, all enemy will be in our feet. We do not be afraid of enemies. But your word says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Give us grace, O Lord Jesus, to live a clean and holy life for you. You are coming very soon. We don't have much time. Whatever the time you have given to us, let us use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.